I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home.
Welcome to Raised in Wisco. I am your host, Danielle Fairman. It is a chilly, chilly week, which makes me extremely happy. I feel like I should say Merry Christmas because this is what we should have had during Christmas. Joel is the mighty host, but he is not here. Do you know where Joel is? And Mr. Kretschmer?
I have no idea where he is.
Joel is driving to go hunting for bobcat.
Up north?
Yeah. Well, not down south.
Well, I didn't know if he was going out of state.
Yeah, no, he is. He has a tag that he's been trying to fill for weeks now.
Do you know how long that goes? That's
a
one
month.
Thing. Is it? Okay.
It's a whole month. He was talking about it last episode, about how he went up there and he saw a bunch of signs. It was great condition, but then nothing happened, which is totally fine. That's why it's hunting. But he is going up there right now. So he wasn't going to come on the show today. And I actually, when I was out pheasant hunting today, he called and said, "Hey, I'm going to go bobcat hunting." I'm like, "Hey, I got the show. No worries."
And then the famous text message, "You want to go?" I'm like, "Absolutely."
Yep.
Tag team and Kretschmer in.
Yep,
he's here.
I texted Kretschmer right away. I'm like, "Hey, so Joel's not coming. Please come."
Yeah.
Bandit would be there, which that's the only reason why everyone comes is because of Bandit, of course.
Wow. I mean, you told me who the guest is today, and I...
I know. I'm so excited. I'm trying to push it off, but I'm, like, jumping at the bit to introduce them.
Uh-huh.
I feel like we should.
He's somewhat of another celebrity in the Southeast Wisconsin area.
That he is, isn't he?
And a big outdoorsman as well.
I mean, I feel like this is an outdoor show, so I feel like it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But first, how are you? How's life? You haven't been on it in a while.
No, I haven't. Good. Christmas was crazy.
I know, I was talking about pheasant, not
yeah,
bunny brain.
Yeah, I know. And did you get anything today?
Oh, I got three.
Really?
Yep. It was Bandit's first time pheasant hunting.
No way.
Well, he's a duck dog. He's a waterfowl dog, right?
And he just knocked it out of the park or what?
So, I love my dog so much. Everybody knows how much I love him.
Right.
But I kept calling him a city dog today. So we're walking around for about 2.5 hours and we're at Warren Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're walking, but they have trails where they got rid of the snow. They push the snow out. So they made trails for like everybody to walk down there.
Yep.
Well, the first hour, Bandit was all about it. Going through the cactails, going through the seagram, doing everything he's supposed to be doing.
And then
he got two. And then, and then I think he started getting tired. So then he just started walking the freaking trail.
A lot of dogs, too.
Go in there. Like,
mm-hmm.
Go hunt. This is your time to shine. Stop being a city dog. Get off the sidewalk.
I would say duck dogs are notorious for that. That's our North Dakota trip. Same thing. When they're in the blind or for ducks, they're crazy.
As soon as
10 minutes, they get 20 yards in front of us and look back at us like, what are we doing out here?
Yep.
But,
yeah. Well, Bandit didn't really, he's never tasted pheasant. Like, he's tasted the meat, of course, after I cook it.
Right.
But he's never, tasted the pheasant, smelled the pheasant.
And after the first one,
he was like, what is this thing? I love it.
Yeah.
But he kept dropping the bird. I don't know if, like, the oil on it, on the feathers, is completely different than ducks or something, but he kept dropping it. I'm like, well, I'm not mad because I still have it in my hand, but you didn't hold it like you normally do with the ducks. So, he's ready to. All right. Welcome. I feel like we need a drum roll somehow. Shotgun Steve Schaefer is in the house. He is jumping at the bit, and I'm so excited to have you on, as well as Chef Janet. We'll do the wonderful... We'll talk to Shotgun right away, and then we're going to get to you, because I'm so pumped to talk to you. So pumped. And I'm also very sad that you did not bring your sash today. That is for the next segment. We'll talk sashes.
Sashes?
Yes.
On the outdoor show? Now I'm intrigued.
Because she won awards for how amazing she is. So bring that mic closer to you, because nobody can hear anything you're saying.
All right. You got me on the show, man. Shotgun Chef Steve Schaefer. Joel's been bugging me a while to come on.
Just Joel. Don't just give him all the credit.
I know. You too, Danielle. You've been bugging me. I'm glad to be here, man. Let's talk about this stuff. And the reason why your dog today was not bringing the bird to you is...
Yeah.
A waterfowl dog, the feathers don't come off. It's an oily feather. A pheasant, they're dry, and he's breathing so hard with that deep snow, he's gasping for air. So he's going to get it to the trail, and he'll drop it until he gets his air and his lungs cleaned out, and then he'll re-grab your bird. That's why they do that.
Oh, really?
I've trained dogs for years, and that's the biggest problem you got with a waterfall dog.
Oh, dang. So, I mean, he still brought it to me. Like, it's never good. One of them was still alive. We definitely winged it, and he did a phenomenal job seeing where it dropped and chased after it in the snow. I'm like, I feel like I should bring you back, but you're...
Never deny a dog when the weather's like this time of snow. If they fetch up or bring anywhere close,
yep.
Walk backwards away from them so they keep coming in. As soon as they get close, and step into them and grab the bird. That way they have this accomplishment of doing everything you want for them.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, I definitely rewarded him multiple times. So.
Oh, yeah. He's spoiled. Well, I can see that right
now. He hasn't moved since I walked in the door. He hasn't moved since I walked in. So.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely your doormat today. We got home and he was just like, okay, this is a new couch and I like it. I'm sitting on it. He did not move whatsoever, which is perfect because I haven't brought him out in the snow. I didn't really want to go out in the snow lately, so that was good exercise.
Well, today was the first day above, 10 degrees in a week?
Yeah. We got a lot. That snow we got is insane. But it's good for the ice.
I've been doing nothing but snowmobiling. My wife is like, oh, you're going riding? And I said, no, actually, I'm going to go on the radio. She's like, oh, have fun. She's like, deer season I was around a lot for deer season, but now it's like ice fishing's right around the corner for me. Some people are already out. That's another thing.
I'm so pumped about talking about that
a little bit. Conditions are very, very all over the state. Mm-hmm. Some people up north are on 3-4 inches still, and other people are on over a foot. So, I mean, even down here, I've heard from people, they've been 3-4. I was just past Beaver Lake. It was wide open at that first cold snap, and there's guys walking all the way across today, and it was loaded with people. So just be careful where you go.
Perfect conditions. They got everybody I talked today, Madison, Southwest, Southeast, Wisconsin, all lakes have 8 inches solid and about an inch of like sandpaper on top. It's that last little bit of rain and stuff that froze on top, and it's perfect walking conditions. They say it's crazy how nice the ice is.
Perfect. And as we had Max Zaruba on the show, Hard Water Freaks, he gives a very good report like every single day. Mm-hmm. If you go on hardwaterfreaks.com or .com on Facebook, and he's on there every single day updating with all the lakes that he goes to. He's been fishing nonstop. So,
well, we got such a late start. We got to make up for it.
I know.
I'm going to make it 12 months out of this year in my boat because it's going to be 50 next week again. I will be on Lake Michigan next weekend. I guarantee you guys, I will be on Lake Michigan next weekend again.
That's an accomplishment.
I've done it 11 months last year. I'm going for 12 this year. Nice. I guarantee you.
I'm pumped for you.
Hell yeah. You get in the pool with me, man. Let's go.
And then you turn around and hit the rivers probably right away.
The Dells, I'll be in the Dells in first part of March. So as long as I'm in my boat February in Lake Michigan, I'll be 12 months.
I've never done that. I've done the Dells.
You got my phone number,
I know. I know.
I block you now because it's
whatever. You're so full of it.
You saved me up. No,
I got a ring tone. It's because loser. And I said,
he's probably going, oh, he probably wants to haunt my goose field.
No.
Deny.
No. Okay. You, Jan, I'm going to talk about your pheasant right now, but do us a favor. She's a chef. And
I know.
You do not freeze a pheasant. You catch them, shoot them like this, do not freeze them. Let's walk her through it right now, Janet.
Hold on. I have this paper. Paper, but it's like it's an old peanut bag wrapping, but it's like a silver paper, but not an actual paper. It's like a good like wax.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And you just wrap it up, and that, I mean, it tastes fine to me 2 years later.
2 years.
Yeah.
Really? You must have a big freezer, because I know you probably hunt fish and have a heck of a lot of product in there.
Three freezers.
There you go. Every good hunter needs three freezers.
There's one for just fish. There's one for, venison and just a couple ducks. And the other one's just for all the extra that doesn't fit in the other ones.
I kind of have to disagree with Shotgun Chef on this pheasant issue. Just a little bit.
I like it.
Banter already. Banter.
Especially if you are a very successful hunter.
She's a girl.
Oh my goodness. Now here we go.
They're throwing stuff.
I'm sure she owns a pink gun and a pink vest for sure, right? Girl hunter.
Yeah. And I put my makeup. I do all the things. I actually do it in heels.
She wears her Barbie outfit when she goes into the field.
Wait, are you wearing the sash?
And she wears a sash.
Okay.
And a tiara.
Oh, yeah. And a tiara.
The best about us is us guys are in the field and she's still putting makeup on trying to catch up.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
I have no objection to that. Okay, you might as well look good in everything
you
do.
Can you even walk down the field as far as I can?
You know, those high heels come in handy when you're high-stepping through the grass.
Okay, but so since you're on here, I'm going to introduce Jane. Jan. Oh.
Oops. It's all right.
See, I already did this too.
Jan Sather.
Jan Sather. Why do I say Jan? Jan? Jane?
I'm a Janet.
I'm more or less thinking of like the...
I must be really good looking.
What?
All Janes are good looking.
Yes, duh, obviously. But she is a private chef and 2023 recipient of the Escoffe. We're going to put a pinky up with this one, the Escoffe Award. And she's seen on the Larry Smith Outdoor Show and lover of all things Wisconsin.
Absolutely, especially the Northwoods.
Yeah? Why particularly the Northwoods?
I have lived in the Northwoods for over 25 years. I'm originally from Madison, city girl.
You don't look a day over 29.
God bless you, girl. It was a 50-year lifetime achievement award. No joke, 50 years at the stove.
Nice.
But to go back to the pheasant issue... You can freeze them. Just don't keep them 2 years if you can help it.
They're on the bottom of the freezer, man.
And forgotten. They're
with a
small.
Couple squirrels and everything, too.
Squirrel, too.
Yeah. But, you know, it happens. It was still fine when I unwrapped it.
Oh, yeah.
Thought
yeah.
It out. It was still pretty good. Like, I was very pleased with that. I made Popeye out of it.
You can keep them as long as they're not too freezer burned.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. They do lose a little flavor, but they're already this fine white meat.
Mm-hmm.
If you can, cook them fresh. I will agree with you, Steve,
everything.
On that.
You know, if I was at her house, I'd get up in the morning with
you
a hammer.
You can't be talking like that. Grab the mic.
If I was at her house, I'd get up in the morning, hammer it out real fast, put it in a frying pan, a couple seconds each side, a little garlic butter, make an egg on the side of it, a little cheese and eggs, egg and onion, put an English muffin in it and say, here you go. Tell me what this is. And she would just say, oh, man, what is that? And then that's what's nice about a pheasant. Just pound it up real thin and let it rock and roll.
Oh, yeah, wrap it up in some jalapenos, some cream cheese in the middle. Perfect.
Pheasant. Now she's wrecking my recipe.
Already.
Now we will save the more introduction of the Northwoods, and we'll talk about the sash, which I'm very excited about on the next segment. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. Fairman, alongside Shotgun Steve Schaefer. Now I keep wanting to call you Jan, Jane.
Just Jan.
I'm just going to call you Sather.
Thank you.
Chef Sather.
It's a tongue twister. Sophie, that's why I'm
Mike
Chef Jan.
That was pretty good.
Anya, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm saying welcome back because I haven't seen you in a whole week. So
yeah, I've actually been here the whole time. It's you who's been gone. So welcome back, Danielle, in fact.
Thank you. It's very exciting. Okay, so we're going to jump right into it. Chef Sather. Wow. Nope. I'm just going to not do that one. Sather. You just Sather.
Just call me Chef.
Chef. Oh, that's fun. I'm going to do that.
My formal title.
Hey, Chef. Let's talk Escoffe.
Escoffe is a school of cooking. An honorary...
Get closer to the mic.
Oh, School of Cooking. I received a Lifetime Achievement Award and honorary diploma. I never had to go to their cooking school.
Oh.
I'm a disciple of Escoffe, dedicated to paying forward the art of cooking.
Yeah.
So I'm there to teach the youngsters.
So what types of things are you teaching? Like, what are you... It's cooking everything together? Are you... What is the whole concept of that?
The whole concept of that organization, it's a charitable organization of chefs dedicated to perfecting the art of cooking all things, especially eat what you catch or kill, and use natural products and teach people how to cook it properly so it's actually really good and enjoyable. Pay your knowledge forward to everyone you meet. I specialize in French method cooking, which is actually the most simple type of cooking there is.
That just like intimidates me.
I know, but art is dedicated to five ingredients or less. Salt and pepper don't count. And keep it simple, because simple food is what tastes best.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you want to taste that pheasant. You want to taste the venison.
You definitely do.
You want to taste all of it. So don't overdo it. Keep it simple.
So can I ask you, Chef, or... So I obviously went pheasant hunting, and I've never tried pheasant legs. Like, I just always just, unfortunately, I know it's just to use the whole entire animal and everything. I try to pay my respect to it, but I never take it because I never know what to do with it. And
they're a little tricky. Just teach them, treat them like a chicken wing, honestly. Bread them.
Give me some chicken wings.
Bread them.
Yes.
Bread them, fry them, but don't fry them too long.
Yeah.
Sauce them. Toss them back in, caramelize them, treat it like a chicken wing, because pheasants aren't that big. The leg is about the size of a drummy on a chicken wing.
This is very true.
Do it like that.
Oh, perfect. I'll definitely do that.
Do you like wings?
Yeah.
I love wings, especially during football season. And go Packers, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. If you
That goes right over my head, because I should care, but I don't.
Okay, then just throw them in the crock pot and put some buffalo sauce on them and you're good to go.
But
seriously,
do you know what you can do while you're doing that? Civic Media app actually airs, right, Anya? It airs all the Packer games?
We air the vast majority of them, certainly as we're going into the playoffs. Is that what we're going into? I also don't know how any of this works.
We are in the playoffs.
I just know we're doing
this.
I'm sorry.
It's a do or die situation going into Saturday.
I'm sure everyone's shaking their head at me right now, but I'm sorry.
Problem we got is like, I always duck hunt, so I'm never home when the games are going on. So I'm out in the field fishing.
If you download the Civic Media app, you can listen to it out in the field.
But I'm supposed to be keeping my eyes up looking for birds coming in. That's
it's called earplugs or earphones, you know.
Here we
They're
go.
They're called headphones.
Here we go.
Headphones.
Earphones.
They're called earplugs. No, they're not, actually.
But pheasant is ding. I mean, like she said, just put it in there, boil it, whatever you want to do. I pull them off. I boil them, pull the meat off, and then I make taco meat out of them.
Oh,
you know,
perfect. I'm not a big fan of boiling meat, though.
I know.
Unless it's the, what is the sous vide. Oh, I know Joel talks about the sous vide a lot, and that I can do because it's in a bag and everything, so it's perfect, but doesn't look the same as everything else. But the sous vide, oh my goodness, I love.
I guess that's what I was going to ask you. If your background is kind of French, I was told that sous vide is a French method. Is this true or not?
It is true. But back in the day, it was called a Ziploc bag and a pan of boiling water.
It still can be. It still
boiling
can be.
Boiling bag rice is basically sous vide rice, okay?
This is very true.
It does keep things and cook things very slowly at a perfect temperature.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of the sous vide is you can keep things forever at a certain temperature without overcooking them.
Perfect.
And they'll be tender as can be.
Nice.
But then, after you take them out of the sous vide machine or the Ziploc bag in the boiling pan of water, you can caramelize them, sear them, put some color on them, sauce them, do whatever you want with them at that point. It's a great way of cooking. Mm-hmm. It's very old school. It's the same, basically, as braising meat.
Yeah.
You know, in liquid, like broth or whatever, slowly in the oven. Super easy to use. If you don't want to invest in one. And they're not very expensive
They're like $90.
They're not expensive.
Worth every penny.
Oh, absolutely.
And absolutely. I know very good chefs. Some of my students even rely on them.
Perfect.
Because the cuts of meat you get in a grocery store, for instance, aren't necessarily restaurant quality.
I believe
it. They can be tough. A sous vide machine solves that problem completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll do steaks in there even. And venison.
Yep.
Chops. And take them out, sear them. Put color on them, and they're just, you don't even need a knife.
Everything.
You don't need teeth.
Yeah, everything that I've done so far in the sous vide has been, turned out very well, except salmon. I did salmon, and I was not a fan of it. It was like, ooh.
Ooh, we were talking before the show about salmon recipes as well, and I'm keep it simple, stupid. Like, the less I have to do, the happier I am.
That's why I think the sous vide works for people if they just explore a little bit. You could set them before you go. I mean, in that thing, and you could go to work just like a crock pot, right?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. That's kind of the idea. A lot of restaurants use them because they can turn them on at night, next day. Everything's still exactly at temperature, food safe, and tender as can be.
Perfect.
And ready to go. That salmon you were talking about, though, I'm going to turn this one over to Shotgun Chef Steve Schaefer, because we made on the Larry Smith Outdoor Show a new salmon recipe. No one has it. Do we have time for that?
Oh, okay. It takes a couple seconds.
Okay.
Two seconds. And also, we have Joel on the line, too. So
bring him on.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. So that's the reason why Larry brought me on the show. I've known him for 30 years. I help him guide. I cooked on the weekends with him. And so many people shoot, catch, whatever they get, don't know what to do with the animal. And it's like, I make the if someone says they know how to cook and they wrap bacon around it, that's not a recipe to me. Anybody can wrap. I mean, you can take a dog crap and make bacon taste, you know, seriously.
Please don't.
But I mean, just say it. I'm telling you, the stuff that we do, like the recipe with the salmon, we put it in a skillet, a little bit of wine, butter, salt, pepper, and put a lid on and got it done where you could tell on salmon because it gets little white bubbles between all the joints.
Yeah.
And as soon as that came, we put Catalina dressing on top.
Ooh.
And then layered it with that and covered it up for like 3-4 minutes and that soaks in every joint.
Yum.
And then she pulled it out and what was that vinegar salad you had underneath it? And then you put a little more Catalina on top there, and the vinegar and the Catalina sweet, it's unbelievable. So my party every year, I have between 100 and 300 people show up. I went through 9 salmon last year with their recipe, and some of them put jalapeno on now. They love the sweet and the heat with it. So,
I never thought about putting jalapeno with the salmon. That sounds delicious.
Oh, it is. The reason why you probably didn't like it when you did the salmon, it keeps that fish smell
fishy. Yep.
Perfect. Yep. So when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more salmon, but most importantly, we have Joel Clayfish on the line. He is heading up Bobcat with me, so I'm so excited. Stay tuned. We have the wonderful Joel Clayfish. He is driving to go bobcat hunting, and I'm very excited. Hey, Joel, how's it going?
Well, I'm excited, too, but I got to tell you, I don't know if I have to turn my attitude around because I was up a couple weekends ago trying to bobcat hunt up here with no success. Now I'm on my way back up here, and I have to tell you, number one, they have less snow than we do in the south. I just rolled through Phillips, and they have less snow. But and so I'm listening to the show from the top, and you guys are doing awesome. The best part of it is listening to the two women put the two guys in their place.
It's not pretty, Joel. It's not pretty.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate that.
We're happy. We're eating.
And then I wanted to ask Chef Jan about sous vide method.
Ooh.
And she completely, thoroughly covered that, which was very exciting. But I do have a question for a trained chef. That is an area of cooking that I'm just not that great at. And I'm real curious to get an expert's opinion on. When you cook wild game, wild poultry, so wild fowl, ducks, geese, pheasants, and you fry them, how do you know if you're pan frying them, how to fry them to the point that they're done, but not too far done? Because I don't even know. Do you deal with the same salmonella issues? Or what's the best way to do that? Because you want to cook them lean when it's waterfowl, but you want to cook it thoroughly when it's pheasant. So what's a good way for people to know when they're frying something in a skillet, the best way to make sure it's cooked to perfection without overcooking it? Because as soon as you overcook wild birds, they're dry and nasty.
It does. It turns into shoe leather, and nobody wants to eat that.
Right.
For instance, breast out a duck without a skin on it. That can be a tricky proposition. You're better off grinding that into duck sausage, in my opinion. If you actually take time to pluck that duck and your skin on, then it is a slow sear. People think searing means you know, hot, hot pan. You go low and slow and render off the fat just like you do bacon. And then flip it for a minute, and it can be pink. You're not dealing with the same salmonella issues that you are from factory meats processed in a giant plant. You're way better off eating natural, catching the food, hunting, harvesting it yourself. It's much safer. Also, use a meat thermometer. It'll tell you when it's done.
People just keep those in the drawer, and I'm like, bust that baby out. Let's look it
up. Bust it out. Absolutely. Get a thermal one. What you don't want to do is be poking that meat a lot because then the juice drains out. Also, cook it under and let it rest. It'll keep gaining temperature and cooking even when you take it out of the pan. Tent it with some foil. It'll be tender. It'll be juicy. But leave it. You can eat it almost. You want it almost cold. It doesn't have to be burning hot to be enjoyable. So that's a great example. Pheasant, you want to cook it. But it's fine-grained, and it will tighten up, and it'll get dry. It'll taste like you're eating sand, especially the breasts, if you overcook it. Best method is to steam it, not boil it, especially most of its skin off. It doesn't have a protective layer. As Chef Schaefer will tell you what not to do, don't wrap it in bacon.
Don't wrap it in bacon.
That's the key. I like to poach it over broth in my Nesco roaster on a rack. Take the meat off.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah, that sounds like an awesome idea. And what about this bathing that has gained popularity now? You see it on all the TikTok videos where they're frying it and they're bathing the oil or butter back over the top of the meat.
That's called confiting.
Yeah. What is it?
It's confit. Google it, C-O-N-F-I-T. And that means literally to cook in its own fat.
Oh.
So every time you cook, save that fat, if there is any. Refrigerate it. It'll keep for about 3 weeks in the fridge, covered, you know, storage tight. Then for your next batch, put that oil in the pan and keep it rolling. It's like a sourdough bread recipe. You got to keep it going. And the thing about fat is it doesn't absorb into the meat if there's no skin or breading. And it crisps it up quickly and adds more flavor, and it just gets better and better over time.
Oh, nice.
Great
that
method.
That is awesome.
You do that a lot, Joel, don't you? I've heard you. Haven't you talked about that
before? I have used it before, and I've never known exactly the reason it works so well, but I think it kind of has a little bit of a searing effect on the outside, too. And then you always maintain the flavor, and I like to cook in cast iron because it does keep that flavor going along. Well, listen, I'm going to be in the North Woods here pretty quick, and I don't want to lose it, but I'm going to keep listening.
No, you can't leave yet, Joel. I got to talk to you for a second.
Uh-oh.
All right, go for it.
This is a shotgun. The reason why, when I was on Gordon Ramsay, is you take the palm of your hand, take your finger, and shove on your thumb muscle right there. And the harder you go, it's like when you're on the meat. That's how you tell. That way you don't keep poking it, like she says, and put holes in it. So if your thumb is totally hard, that's done. Well done. If it's got your thumb relaxed, that's medium rare. You know what I'm saying? When you push in the meat and your fingerprint stays there, that's how you fare. That way you don't keep poking and you have holes in your meat. So now you're not here, but Danielle's holding something up.
Joel, you're missing on the perfect episode. They brought us food. And they also brought goose prime rib patties for us, too.
So
of course, the one time that I'm not there.
Joel, stop. There's
they
a bag here.
Food the one time. And I'm so hungry driving in the North Woods. There's not even a restaurant around.
Dude,
you're killing me.
I got a bag with your name on it, and it's a recipe that came up with Leroy Meats. It's phenomenal.
It used to have your name on it.
I used to have it. Yeah. Well, when you take it home, just thaw it out. Don't salt it or season it. It's all pre-marinated. I'll let you know what the stuff is afterwards, but when you taste it, I've never had one person say they didn't like it yet.
I'll tell you how good they are. When you'll have an empty brown bag here, sir.
No.
That sounds fantastic. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. Danielle, you're doing awesome.
Thank you. Hey, good luck, Joel.
Kretschmer, don't get too comfortable in that chair, but Danielle's going to be gone on the 18th of February, so you can come and co-host with me on that. But thanks for everything. I'm really learning a lot from the chefs.
Yeah.
Love it. Love taking what you killing the field and taking it to the table.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invite,
good
brother.
Luck. Get
Thanks
one,
so much,
get
Joel.
One, get one, get one.
I appreciate being here.
Perfect. All right, well, Joel is off bobcat hunting. Now, what about bobcat? Would we eat bobcat?
Yeah, would you? That's a good question.
How would we make the bobcat?
I wouldn't.
What? Why? Why? You can't just say that and not tell me. You can't just cliffhang that stuff. But why?
Predatory animals are not my favorite. They serve a big purpose in nature, keeping the population under control.
Yeah.
They take care of the weak and the old so that we get the best.
That's a valid point. But I've heard that mountain lion, cougar, is the best of best wild game from multiple people. Now, personally, I've not had it, but people out west say it is. They'll take that over moose, elk. There's people that will swear by that. It's the best eating game there is out there.
I've had bobcat. It all depends on what they eat. You know, see,
anything
else is what they eat, and it's how they prepare it. But yeah, like I said, the best food, the best meat I ever had was beaver.
And, beaver?
Oh, I'll eat beaver.
Where did you have beaver? Here in Wisconsin?
Yeah. There's a trapper down in the southwest corner.
Yeah.
He hands me 20, 30 a year, and I'm telling you, it's a real, real reddish, like your Dr. Pepper bottle there, that color there. And it is the best tasting meat you're going to have.
Huh. I've eaten coyote.
I've eaten everything. Coyote, bobcat, all that stuff.
I couldn't get over the coyote deal.
You have to try everything to figure out if you like it or not. And that's just why, say you have had it.
That's why Larry's got me on the show. These people kill the stuff, trap it, or whatever, and they just leave it in their freezer. It's like, here's what you do with it, you know? So
I appreciate the fact that people are using every part of the animal, not just trapping it for skins or hunting it for skins. They're using every single part of the animal. I admire that. Mm-hmm. Tasty. I need to try more and invent more recipes to make that happen.
You need to come over, woman.
I guess I do. I need to raid your freezer, shotgun.
I'm going
to
steal your chassis or whatever the hell.
Yeah,
He's going to steal my sash and my tiara. He's going to wear it. And I tell you what, next time you lose a bet, that's going to happen. On the show.
Next time you lose a bet, it means you've lost bets before.
Oh,
I like
no
that.
Way.
Yeah, Steve, yeah, right.
We're
he loses all bets.
Off. Next week, we'll see who makes the best. You name the game. I will cook it. You will cook it. Whoever loses gets to wear the sash.
Okay, I want in on this.
When Joel comes back with a bobcat.
I'll be the judge, but I want to bring Specklebelly into the game because after when I was in North Dakota and I called in when I was out hunting, Joel's like, do not mix that in with the grind when you make sausage. Keep the specks separate.
Not.
He says it's the best.
Speck is amazing.
I have not eaten it yet. No.
No, why not? You shot some, didn't you?
Yeah, they're in my freezer, like everything else.
What is wrong with you? Okay, so you need to bring
You
that
forget
in
I work for a meat company, too, so I gotta balance grass-fed beef with venison.
Yeah.
Ducks.
Yep.
Pheasants.
You poor thing.
Turkeys.
How are you?
Occasional bluegills.
You poor,
perch.
Poor man.
Yeah. I mean, Steve's in the same boat.
Oh, yeah, but I was up in Apostle Islands guiding up there with Larry doing a show. We were in 400 feet of water, and I made snow goose, speckabelly, and mallard, and separated them on the back of my foreleg in 10 below weather with a shack around me, and people were eating it saying, what is this stuff? And it's just how you prepare it, and being cold and hungry made a big difference, too.
Oh, of course.
You know, but it's good stuff.
Oh, yeah, speckabelly meat is a different type of texture and everything, too. Like, everything, you can definitely, when you cook it, you can definitely see the difference as well, because isn't the meat, it's like it's shaped, not shaped, but what's it called, like the
grain,
the grain, thank you. The grain is like different, and you gotta, I don't know how to explain it, but I feel like you two should be able to explain this a lot better than I am.
You're doing real fine. It's
completely different, and I love the taste of speckled.
Even like you were today when you open all the fences up, they come from the same pen, but they're not the same color.
Yeah.
There's any animal is the same. Yeah. It all depends on where they're born and raised and what they're eating is what change. Like you can catch a perch here, Madison, it'd be a yellowish color. Get one in North Dakota, it's eating shrimp
orange.
All day, and it's orange. Yeah. So look at Janet.
I'm turning the mic towards me, Chef. Chef Shotgun. The biggest difference in the grain is how far they fly. Migratory birds, the muscle content.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me go on something about that. I mean, seriously,
Thank you. I stalled out.
No, but anybody that hunts, if you shoot a deer and it travels for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of yards, that adrenaline's going through those muscles.
Oh, yeah.
Grind the hell out of it. I mean, don't even try to make anything out of it, because that's why when I tell somebody that handed me a deer, they tracked it for days. It's like, I don't want it. There's nothing I can do with it.
Yeah.
The adrenaline makes the meat so tough. You got to beat it with a hammer.
Runny bucks are the same way, right? Yeah. I mean, just like, yep, keep the back straps and inside tenderloins, other net, grind it.
We make primary burger out of them.
Yep. Oh, I'm so excited to try this primary burger.
It's super important. Clean kills. That's why you want a clean kill. You want to drop them as fast as you can so that adrenaline doesn't have a chance to go anywhere into that meat.
And plus, no hunter wants to see an animal run away.
That'd be absolutely
heartbreaking.
Who also
wants to walk 3 miles through snow?
Yeah.
I will also give a deer away that I shoot up north on my 40 when I go up gun hunting. I'll let one of my cousins take it. I shoot all my deer, corn-fed, alfalfa, backyard deer that are eating healthy, your garden.
Yep.
My grandma's like, those past deer up there, and we got to shoot them down here and take them up north for her freezer. When are you guys going to shoot me a deer? I'm like, you just passed 17 of them on your private property. Yeah, they don't taste the same. I get it, Grandma. I get it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's true.
That's very true.
So.
Yep. Waterfowl, too. Same thing. If you shoot a duck or a goose and it goes across the pond, you're chasing it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Next time I'm on the show, I'll give you the secret recipe how to overcome that Northwoods gamey taste.
Why next time? Why can't you do it right now? We're ready. We have 2 minutes until break.
We have 2 minutes. Okay, I can do it in that amount of time.
Very proud of you.
Okay, there's one word. Two words. Maybe three. First of all, the marinade.
Mm-hmm.
This will work on any part of that venison. First word, Tanqueray gin.
Tanqueray gin?
Gin marinade. Oh, yeah. The juniper.
Yep.
It's the highest juniper content.
Oh.
In gin?
In gin. Ooh. Juniper, red wine, garlic, black pepper.
Wait, all of this together?
In a marinade.
Oh, yeah.
It can be kind of if you don't drink all the gin,
it'll work. You don't have to worry about that.
Or the red wine. Always save one for you, one for the deer. One for you, one for the deer. But, yes.
Okay, so we have Tanqueray gin, the red wine, and what else?
Garlic.
Garlic, all right.
Black pepper, and a couple of bay leaves.
All right, so we're going to stop it right there, and then we're going to tell you what to do with all these ingredients. Then when we come back from the break, give us a call at 844-967-2789.
Sit down, Waldo.
Oh, that was such a great intro.
What is that?
I didn't know what was happening. I was in for it. I was ready. This is the Race and Wisco Show. We have fun and interesting introduction songs. Did it say Waldo?
Sit down, Waldo.
Sit down, Waldo.
It's hot for teacher, but I didn't know there was this opening to it beforehand.
I didn't know that either.
One of the best videos that ever came out.
That is Shotgun Steve Schaefer's song that he got to choose. And
I appreciate that.
I shall
that.
Now call you Waldo. Sit down, Waldo.
I am sitting, Danielle. Everybody follow me. I'm Waldo. I'm in Waukesha right now.
All right, chef.
All right, let's rock this now.
So we have gin, we have our red wine, we have our garlic, and salt and pepper, did you tell me? Question mark?
Yes.
Okay.
Salt, pepper, Tanqueray gin.
Yep.
I specifically, just because of the juniper content.
So what does the gin do to all of it? Why are we adding gin?
The juniper in the gin absolutely masks and removes any gamey flavor.
Oh.
I have taken the gamiest venison in the world, used this marinade, and people think it is the finest beef tenderloin they've ever had.
That's wonderful.
It just...
So what about portions? So we do equal amounts of gin and red wine and...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, equal parts of gin and red wine. And then we have our garlic, and I'm a garlic fiend, so absolutely. I'm going to add the whole thing in there.
Tons of garlic. This means it's not going to absorb a ton of all that, but it's going to remove the gamey.
Okay.
And then marinate it for a full 24 hours.
Okay.
Absolutely. A bay leaf in there is optional. You only want to leave that in for the first couple hours. Otherwise, it's too much.
Oh, good to know.
Bay leaf is a very powerful flavor. Marinate it for 24 hours. Take it out of the in the fridge. Take it out of the fridge, put it on a rack, let it dry.
Mm.
Absolutely dry and come to room temperature. Then sear it, depending on the cut. Sear the chops. Don't overcook them. They'll be beautiful.
Oh, I'm very intrigued by this.
For a larger tenderloin, you're going to maybe put a little more pepper, a little more garlic on the outside.
Yeah.
Once it's dry, throw it in the oven at 500 degrees.
I don't think I've ever used 500 degrees
for about 12 minutes.
Ooh.
Turn the oven off.
Okay.
Forget about it. Leave it in there. It will come out red in the middle.
Yeah.
It will be fully cooked, but red, beautiful, tender as butter.
Ooh.
Take it out. Let it rest. Under foil. Tent it. Leave it alone again.
That's going to be my trouble, is leaving it alone.
You gotta leave it alone.
I want to peek. Like, what are you doing in there?
Don't slice it in half to check it.
Yeah.
Leave it. Have faith. Just have faith.
Ooh.
You can always cook it more.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out.
That just sounds absolutely wonderful.
Leave it. Slice it in, 2-inch portions. Plate it.
I hope all of you are watching my Facebook Live or Raisin Wisco's Facebook Live, because she is getting into this.
Yes, her passion for it is no joke.
Her eyes are rolling in the back of her head. She is getting into it. I love it.
I dealt with a lot of gamey venison in my life living in the Northwest. I did. And this is the cure. It absolutely is. It will be.
And there's a lot of people that hate, like, if you say I have venison, they're like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, they'll say no thanks.
That's probably something that. The gin. I'm excited to try the gin because
absolutely.
Of course, I never would have thought of using gin, but
it doesn't have any gin flavor, the meat. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
It just kind of does its thing.
Perfect.
Don't drink the marinade afterwards.
Oh my goodness.
You might be tempted. However, you can save that marinade in the freezer.
And use it again.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
No waste. I got for Christmas from my father-in-law the temp spike.
And they're awesome.
They're like spike? $200. Yep.
What is it?
So they are Bluetooth thermometers.
Oh, yeah.
That you literally put right in the meat and you leave it in there from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And you're not poking it. You're leaving it in the oven. You're not open. To your point, I do all my prime ribs that way. In 500, boom, shut it off. And you go, and then this is going to be a game changer now. Even on my smoker, I don't have to go check it. I'm not lifting the lid. It's probably worth the $200.
Oh, I believe it.
And I got two of them. They make a single, they make doubles, whatever. But if you are for the best of the best, I pride myself. I don't need that because I've always done I cook for all my friends and it's just, I don't have the background. Obviously you two do, but people are always, what's for dinner? When you coming? When are we doing this? But. It's worth every penny to get that.
Let's flip this for a second before we run out of time. Everybody that fishes Lake Michigan, what do they do with their fish? Smoke it, pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We gave you an awesome recipe with Catalina.
Yep.
I got another bite. It's from Alaska. Brown sugar, soy sauce, water, vinegar, garlic. Make it a paste. Rub it on top of the salmon. Don't do it to coal. Coal is candy. You just cook it.
Yeah. That's like,
but like your Lakers and your brown stuff like that and stuff you want to do, put that on the grill, piece of aluminum foil. And it's going to caramelize on her, and it is fun.
Oh, so does that caramelize like almost like a barbecue? Crust.
It's like,
okay, so I did that one time on a cedar plank. I found the recipe, and I'm not a big salmon guy. I loved it, and I could not find that recipe. So maybe that's what it was. Brown sugar, soy sauce. That's what it probably
water,
was.
Water, vinegar, and garlic. And sometimes they take orange juice and run orange juice like a fresh squeeze on the edge of the fish so the citrus goes in.
See, I'm more of a lemon and garlic and asparagus with my salmon.
Yep.
Put that right in a foil, and I put that right in the oven, and wabam, it's so perfect.
With enough recipes for people.
Oh, yeah. That's why I love this show. We have so many different ideas. I'm intrigued with this gin. I'm going to post all about this gin situation.
Yeah.
It really is.
I don't really drink gin, so it'll be safe for me.
Because you can buy juniper berries. They're impossible to crush, They're gritty no matter what. I don't want that. Crusting.
Yeah.
It's not a good mouthfeel. The gin works better.
Perfect.
You know what it'd be good for?
What?
The Packer game on Saturday.
Oh my goodness. And start thawing the meat now.
Start thawing the meat now. But I will not be watching it. But if people want to listen to it, they can go to the Civic Media app and stream the Packers. There's Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, or Park Falls. You can pick between those four cities and then listen to the whole Packer game, which is perfect for y'all Packer lovers. Miss Packer shirt over there, which...
Yeah.
I'm very proud of you.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
But I will be snowmobiling and then ice fishing because Brady's on the Arrowhead ice fishing team now. So we have our first state tournament on.
Do you know I made awesome. That Good popular?
Yeah. Yeah, well, right, I've seen it.
There was only 9 teams. We aired it on Larry Smith's show. It tripled.
Good, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited for Larry Smith's shows to watch. Those are always great shows.
Maybe we'll have to go on a show.
I think so. That sounds kind of perfect.
I might know a guy to get you. Yeah.
I'll call Larry.
You know somebody?
I know somebody. I might be able to pull some strings, yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, chefs, both of you, for coming on. I really, truly appreciate it. Thank you for all the food. Everybody, thank you, Kreshmer, for coming on. Good luck, Joel. Good luck to everybody out there ice fishing. Stay safe. Bring your spud bars, and please be safe out there. Thank you for listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm Danielle Fairman. Have a great night. Oh, man.